Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all this morning as we gather together on this Sunday, this Reformation Sunday, a Sunday that the Lord has made to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glad that you are all here this morning. Just to apprise you of a couple of announcements, our annual meeting, as we've said before, is going to be on December the 7th after worship. But we do need all of the reports in to the office no later than November the 16th. Also, just to remind, let people know, actually, that there will be no Bible study this Wednesday. We'll pick a Bible study up the following Wednesday, but there will be no Bible study this coming Wednesday. There are lots of things, other things that will be going on in the church here, particularly as we move into a new church year. Please read your bulletin and stay abreast of all that is happening here at Oney Presbyterian Church. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Psalms. We'll be reading the 84th Psalm, beginning at verse 1 and reading through verse 7. So let us listen to God's word for us this morning. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yea, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At thy altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in thy house, ever singing thy praise. Blessed are the men whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from chapter 18 of Luke's gospel, beginning at verse 9 and reading through verse 14. Again, let us hear God's word for us. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. It's the word of the Lord. Our parable this morning is relatively straightforward. Common among the parables of Luke's gospel, it involves two contrasting figures. On the one hand is a Pharisee, a religious leader, a pious and respectable practitioner of the law. And on the other hand is a rogue, a tax collector, someone most Jews at the time would have considered to be quite despicable. Yet by the time we reach the end of this short parable, it's the tax collector who is justified by God and the Pharisee who is left wanting. It's one of the great reversals that we often find in Luke's gospel, where the one that we might expect to be commended is not commended, and the one we might expect to be condemned is not condemned, but is the one who is commended. Many of us know that the Pharisees often come off as the heavy in the gospel narratives. They're often portrayed in a negative light, which of course is unfortunate, because the Pharisee in our parable this morning really is right. The Pharisees were not like other people. They were pious. They were holy. They were stringent in their observance of the law. They prayed regularly. They fasted regularly. They tithed regularly. They were all overall just and good and faithful people, the kind of people that you might want to be a part of the congregation, the kind of people you might want to be your neighbors. They were good, decent, holy people. Which leads me to the question, what's wrong with being a Pharisee? What's wrong with being good? What's wrong with being decent and holy? Isn't that what we should all want? Isn't that what we should all aspire to? What's wrong with being right? Why do the Pharisees often come out as the heavy in the gospel narratives? What's wrong with them being right? Well, actually, nothing. There's nothing wrong with the Pharisee, what the Pharisee does in our parable this morning. In fact, what the Pharisee does is all quite commendable. The problem with the Pharisee, the one in the parable, is not so much what he does, it's what he thinks. And what he thinks is what a lot of people tend to think, a lot of religious people anyway. He thinks he can become right with God through his own efforts. He thinks he can become right with God through his own exertions, through his own goodness. The doctrine of how we become right with God is called the doctrine of justification. And the Pharisee believes that he is justified by God because he's good. He's trusting in his own goodness. You ever see people like that who trust in their own goodness? We human beings have lots of ways that we try to justify ourselves before God and other people. Some of us try to justify ourselves by being successful. Some of us try to justify ourselves by making lots of money. If I could just make lots of money, I can justify myself. Some people try to justify themselves by living in the right kind of house, or by living in the right kind of neighborhood, or by having the right kind of job. We have all kinds of ways we try to justify ourselves, and some people try to justify themselves by being good. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. Nothing wrong with being successful. Nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong with being good. It's just that none of these things can make us right with God. If anything, they can foster a kind of arrogance and pride that can lead us further and further from God. And that's the problem of this Pharisee in this parable this morning. Jesus is telling this parable for those who trust in themselves, for those who trust in their own goodness, for those who despise and condemn and look down on others. And indeed, one of the great spiritual dangers of trusting in ourselves and trusting in our own goodness and rightness is that it can easily breed within us a contempt for other people. People whom we believe do not measure up, people who we believe are not right, are not on the right side of God or on the right side of history. And that's part of the great spiritual blindness of the Pharisee in our parable. It's not just that he has an exaggerated sense of his own goodness, but that he also has contempt for the tax collector in the parable. You can just feel his contempt in the prayer that he offers to God. God, thank you that I'm not like him. Thank you that I'm not like this rogue. Thank you that I'm not like this lowlife. Thank you that I'm not like this sinner. Thank you that I'm not like this tax collector. I agree with Dan McClendon that sometimes showing contempt for others is a way of masking our own weakness and insecurities. You ever see people like that? The only way they can feel good about themselves, they have to constantly put other people down, constantly show contempt for others. But very often, contempt really is born from a genuine sense of feeling superior over other people, feeling that we're morally better than other people, feeling that we are right. We live in a society today that is dripping with contempt. We live in a society today where we genuinely have contempt for one another. I wish I could say that to other people's sins, that I don't have to worry about that, but I have to confess this morning that I often find contempt welling up in my own heart. Whenever someone is bigoted, whenever someone is cruel, whenever someone is narrow-minded, I find contempt welling up in my heart, contempt for those people. I was listening to some of that group chat that was made available a couple of weeks ago between some young people, politically connected young people, and it was awful, the things that they were saying. And listening to it, I couldn't help but feel contempt. Contempt for them. And I found myself saying, thank God I'm not like that. Thank God I'm not bigoted. Thank God I'm not mean. Thank God I'm not cruel and narrow-minded. Thank God that I'm open and I'm tolerant and inclusive and broad-minded. Thank God. And then it hit me, Randy, you're sounding like a Pharisee. Then I started to defending myself. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with being tolerant? What's wrong with being accepting? What's wrong with being inclusive? What's wrong with being right? And the thought came back, nothing. Nothing is wrong with any of that. As long as you don't think that any of those things are what makes you right with God. I want to be clear this morning, the tax collector in this parable really is a rogue. He really is a scoundrel. Tax collectors were traitors against their own people. They collected taxes for the Roman Imperium, and oftentimes they cheated and they extorted and they did all kinds of things in order to make sure that they could make a living at tax collecting. It would be comparable today to a drug dealer or a con artist who preyed on his own people in order to make a living. Many Jews really did despise and hate tax collectors. But the most compelling difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector in our parable this morning is attitude. The tax collector knows what a vile sinner he is. He knows that he's far away from the glory of God. He knows that there's nothing he can do to make himself right with God. And so he also comes to the temple to pray. But instead of a prayer of thanksgiving like the Pharisee, he prays a prayer of confession. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we are told that it's the tax collector who goes home justified. He's the one who's made right with God. Jesus has been trying to tell us something about the kingdom of God all throughout Luke's gospel. He keeps trying to tell us that the kingdom of God cannot be received from a position of entitlement. It can't be received from a position of strength and trust in our own efforts. It can't be received by anyone who's trying to justify themselves. The kingdom of God can only be received, Jesus wants us to understand, as pure gift, as pure grace, by those who can only cry out for God's mercy. Every Sunday we say together a prayer of confession, as we did this Sunday. It's been my experience that the prayer of confession is not the most popular part of the liturgy. Some people just straight up don't like it. They think it's a bit of a downer in a worship service. It should be more about joy and thanksgiving. But we say a prayer of confession every Sunday, not to beat up on ourselves, but to remind us that we are all sinners. None of us are here because we're able to make ourselves right with God. We are here only because of God's grace, only because of God's mercy. And that's what this Sunday, Reformation Sunday, is all about. It's about God's grace and God's mercy. It's about God coming close to us. It's about God accepting and forgiving us. While we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, God came close to us and showed God's grace to us. There's nothing wrong with being right, nothing wrong with being a Pharisee, just like there's nothing right with being a scoundrel and a rogue. But I agree with Sam Wells that both the Pharisee and the tax collector need each other. They both need to know what it means to be people of God. The tax collector needs the Pharisee to know what it means to live a good, righteous life. He needs to know what it means to give of himself, to give his time and devotion to God. And of course, the Pharisee needs the tax collector. He needs to know what it means to be humble before God. He needs to know what it means to count on nothing but God's mercy. He needs to know that there's nothing that he can do to justify himself, to make himself right with God. He needs to know what it means to accept God's grace as pure gift. That's what we should remember, too, when it comes to relating to others that we might have contempt for, that we all need each other. We all need each other to help us with our own blind spots, to help us with all the ways that we all fall short of the glory of God. You know, that's what this place is for. That's what coming to church is for. We come here not to beat up on the tax collectors, and we come here not to beat up on the Pharisees, but we come here because we recognize that we're all in need of God's grace. We're all like thirsty travelers in need of water, living water. We all come together out of our need. And so this morning we recognize that none of us can justify ourselves before God. None of us can brag about our excellencies or about our achievements. None of us come here because we are good enough, or holy enough, or decent enough. We all come here because we recognize in our heart of hearts that we need God's mercy. We come here with the same prayer that the tax collector had. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on me. And grace be to God, that's what God gives us. He gives us of himself. And through his mercy, he gives us each other so that we might learn what it means to be God's people. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your mercy this morning. We thank you for the grace that you've bestowed upon each and every one of us. And we thank you for bringing us here for each other. We gather here with all of our own individual struggles. We gather here with our own blind spots. We gather here because we realize that all of us are enmeshed in a web and matrix of sin. Sometimes we are aware of that, and other times we are not. Sometimes we may be tempted to see more clearly the sin of our brothers and sisters and not be readily cognizant of our own. But you bring us here in this place this morning through your grace, and you have given us each other, fellow travelers in your grace, to help to recognize that we are all in need of you. Lord, we ask that you send us out in the midst of a broken world, a world that is filled with contempt for each other, that you would help us to be your joyful community of good news. Good news of your great love for us. Good news that you have come close to us. Good news that you have shown your grace and mercy to us so that we can be your people. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave of himself so that we might be filled with the abundant life that he came to help all of us to have in your mercy. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.